This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
The Daily Mix Show presents the most popular radio game on this side of the speaker. Let's play B-Mix.
B-Mix, don't be a loser. Whoa. B-Mix, you're a loser.
Who is ready to beat Mix? I know Joel from Seattle is. Joel, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, Steve, out the door you go.
Bye-bye.
For those who are playing at home, Joel has 60 seconds to answer 10 questions. You can pass all you want, but you will only get three guesses per question. Are you ready?
Yes.
In the nursery rhyme, who had a farm with a dog named Bingo?
Oh. Old MacDonald?
That's correct. The first commercially issued film soundtrack was for what Disney movie?
Pass.
Which classic rock band had the albums Quadrophenia and My Generation?
The Who.
Correct. What is the strongest bone in the human body?
The spine?
No.
The femur.
Correct. The umbrella was invented in which Asian country?
Tokyo?
No.
China.
Correct. The first day of spring falls on which day of the week this year?
Pass.
The Ice Bucket Challenge supported the fight against which disease?
Breast cancer.
No. Joel, you got four correct.
Oh, did you ever do the Ice Bucket Challenge?
I did do that.
Oh, yeah. That was cold.
Back in 2014, I believe it was. Wow. And it was cold. Steve Miggs, are you ready?
Oh, yeah!
In the nursery rhyme, who had a farm with a dog named Bingo?
Bluey.
No.
Old MacDonald.
Correct. The first commercially issued film soundtrack was for what Disney movie?
I'm going with Lion King.
No.
Cinderella.
No.
Frozen.
No. Which classic rock band had the albums Quadrophenia and My Generation?
The Who.
Correct. What is the strongest bone in the human body?
That would be...
Okay.
The fibula?
Nope.
The femur?
Correct. The umbrella was invented in which Asian country?
Japan.
No.
China.
That is right. The first day of spring falls on which day of the week this year?
I don't know. Today's Thursday.
That is the right answer, Steve. The Ice Bucket Challenge supported the fight against which disease?
Lou Gehrig's disease,
yes.
ALS.
Which continent is the windiest on Earth?
I'm going to go North America.
No.
Africa.
No.
Antarctica.
Yes. Which actor played Batman in the 1992 movie Batman Returns?
Christian Bale?
No.
George Clooney?
No.
Val Kilmer?
No.
Damn
what
it.
Is the state bird of Washington?
Eagle.
No.
Cockatoo.
No.
Yeah, that's it.
Parrot.
No, but Steve, you got 7 correct, which is a win, 7-4. Sorry, Joel.
That's okay.
Yep,
that's
all next right. time, man.
It'll bounce back.
You both did not know that the first commercially issued film soundtrack was for Snow White and the Seven Dwarves.
I went Cinderella. I should have just went with Snow White next.
Batman in 1992, it was Michael Keaton. And the state bird of Washington is the mighty goldfinch.
Is it really?
Yes, the American goldfinch.
The goldfinch?
Yes.
Why don't we have a sports team called the Goldfinches?
The Daily Migs Show.
In a recent interview, Chef Gordon Ramsay shared that his favorite fast food burger is, drumroll please, the Double Double Animal Style from In-N-Out Burger.
Come on, shut up.
Probably because he hasn't been to Dick's before.
Overrated. Is Gordon Ramsay the restaurant that we went to in Vegas?
Yes, it is.
And I will still contend that was one of the greatest hamburgers. It was a fake burger, but it was one of the greatest burgers I've ever eaten was at his restaurant in Vegas.
Well, and I had the real version, and it was also one of the greatest burgers I've ever had.
So it blows me away that he is such a fan of such crap that then turns around and makes such a phenomenal burger. I'm kidding. I don't mind the In-N-Out. When I was eating meat, I had the In-N-Out burger. I thought, I was like, this is good. I don't understand why people lose their mind over it.
I mean, I really like an In-N-Out burger.
Yeah.
But it's not my favorite. Yeah. But I do want to ask a simple question of our rockaholics. And that simple question is this. What's your favorite fast food burger? And we will start with Nick in Mount Lake Terrace. Nick, what is your favorite fast food burger?
Kid Valley.
Oh,
yeah.
Underrated.
Classic. Totally. I feel like they get left off of way too many lists.
I mean, I love that they're at the ballparks, but I always forget about them. But what type of burger do you like to get there?
Probably double bacon burger.
Yeah. Do you get the shakes?
Oh, yeah, of course. But not as much anymore. I'm trying to watch my figure. Yeah,
dude, their peanut butter shake was my go-to and back when I wasn't watching my figure. So good. But I remember when my old band, we used to go to Peter Parker. Way back in the day, we used to practice somewhere in Ravenna.
Oh,
in
yeah.
That little area. And there was a Kid Valley right by there. And that was like our go-to, either mid-practice or at the end of practice. Let's stop at Kid Valley and let's get some burgers and shakes.
I'm getting really hungry just talking about this.
I know your mouth is watering.
206-803-ROCK. Our simple question to Phil in Everett. Phil, what is your favorite fast food burger?
I'm going to have to go with a good old Big Mac, Karen.
I know. I have to go. I got to go try a Big Mac.
I love that the judgmental voice came out right there. Like, come on, Taryn. You haven't had one yet.
Phil, maybe this will be my week.
What's that?
Maybe this will be my week. Maybe I'll finally go get myself a Big Mac.
Let me put
Phil. You got it. You'll never go back. I'm telling you.
All right, Phil. I'm going to put you to the test. I want to put you to the test. Two all beef patties.
Oh, hey, I'm not playing deep mix, Steve.
What kind of Big Mac enthusiast are you?
Can you finish it for the
special sauce, everyone? Lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed roll or bun or something? Crap. You're testing somebody and you don't even know it? I don't even eat meat anymore. Cut me some slack.
Okay.
What's your favorite fast food burger then? Is it still the Whopper?
The Whopper's always. That's my goat.
And you said the Impossible Whopper.
It's good.
Pretty darn good?
I mean, it's fine. Yeah, it's at least a little bit of a... I ain't gonna lie to you. It's just as good as the actual Whopper. It's good, though. I also like a Carl's Jr. burger.
Oh, I love Carl's Jr.
Like, they had like one with like the teriyaki sauce and the pineapple. Not a good burger to eat if you're trying to drive, though.
Ooh.
Because teriyaki sauce and pineapple slides more than I thought it would.
It's a messy day.
And then you have it on your shirt.
See, the one I don't get to go to very often unless I'm driving to Portland, and no, Danny, it's not In-N-Out. If I'm driving down to Oregon, I like to stop at Burgerville.
Burgerville, yes.
Love Burgerville. They do so many ingredients from local farms and local farmers, and I just get all nerded out every time I get their new shakes and things like that. Love their burgers.
I know they've been in a bad, they have a little bit of a bad run in the news, but Frugal's for the longest time was a go-to. Like that cheeseburger there in Tacoma.
I've never been there.
Oh, well, I mean... They've had some stuff going on.
You're really selling it.
No, I mean, Frugal's also, Frisco Freeze.
Oh, yeah.
Tacoma as well. What about you, Danny? besides In-N-Out?
No, it has to be. It has to be the Burger King. It has to be the Whopper.
The Whopper,
all the time,
flame broiled.
If I have to have a different answer than you, though, I think I would probably have to go with the Supersonic Cheeseburger from Sonic.
Ooh.
Yeah, every time we go to Spokane, because they have the Sonic right there, almost by the Knitting Factory. So we're always like, we'll grab that on our way out back to Seattle, and it's so good.
Somebody said Miner's Deluxe Burger with peanut butter milkshake. There are Miner's in Union Gap in Yakima. They are huge.
I've only been to the one in Yakima, and it is that good.
Do you ever just want to stop it anytime you're driving in like some small town?
Oh, yeah.
And you see like that burger place that just looks like, I'm not even sure if it's still open because it looks kind of run down.
Oh, yeah.
But then you realize it is open. You're like, I bet they have the best burgers and french fries.
I'm supposed to go to pizza for lunch today, but I think I'm going to text my friend and see if we can pivot and go get some burgers.
Where are you going
to
go?
Well, apparently I need to go get a Big Mac. I'm going to go to Burger Master, Danny.
Cool.
The Daily Migs Show.
Many people.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Love collecting autographs from some of their favorite sports stars. One of those sports stars, Jason Kelce. For some, they found that they...
One of the great Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, he seems like he's a bigger star because of his podcast. And also, he's like on... I see him on all those cans of soup now.
Oh, my God.
And they're amazing because it's just like a giant picture of his face. It's so good.
Seems like everybody loves him. But some people just found out that they paid very good money for a fake autograph of Jason Kelce's. This is ABC News in Philadelphia talking about this.
Three people in Montgomery County are facing charges tonight, accused of selling fake Jason Kelce sports memorabilia and raking in hundreds of thousands of dollars. The suspects allegedly peddled more than 1,000 of the forged items.
Damn.
Action News reporter Brianna Smith with the details. Brianna.
Okay, first of all, this guy could have like a side job as like a sexy voice man.
Yeah, for sure.
Brianna.
Brianna.
The criminal complaint states it started back in June when Kelce signed autographs during a private event at Valley Forge Casino Hotel. The investigation discovered they used Beckett Authentication Services to sell more than 1,100 fake autographed items, including helmets, jerseys, and footballs. The complaint confirms Kelce did not meet with Branco or Parenti for the signings.
Damn. The part that it's silly, but the part that got a little bit of a chuckle is where it was done.
Private event at Valley Forge Casino Hotel.
You go Valley Forge, of course they're forging things.
Right? It's right
Sorry,
in the name.
No. Yeah. It's like, what do you expect, buddy?
So has anything like that ever happened to you? Did you ever get duped?
Nothing that I know of, but there's very good chance. Like sometimes even like somebody will give me like a gift, like an autograph, something, and I'm just like, and I'll look, I'm like, who is this? And I Google it, and I'm like, it doesn't really look exactly like it. Did they just forge the signature as a gift? I'm like, it was still nice, whatever. I don't care. I'm not much of an autograph collector.
It didn't come with a certificate of authenticity, Steve.
So I've never been one. Like, I like getting, like, if I was getting an autograph, I think it's cool when you get it from the person. Like,
sure.
Because there's a memory there. Like, buying it from a store or going online to purchase has never been my cup of tea. I know other people do enjoy getting that. But I'm the king of buying things that I know are 100% not legit. I love doing that.
You like
that.
To save a couple bucks?
Save a couple bucks, and I just think it's funny. Like, there's been lots of, like, I've fake Seahawks jerseys,
sure.
Fake Mariners jerseys, and my favorite thing is when people don't even realize that they are, because I think it's glaringly obvious, and I think it's kind of funny. My favorite, though, are, like, fake Ray-Ban sunglasses, which I call the Roy Bonds. I'm not even sure if the A is really, but, you know, like, I always joke to my wife, I'm like, we could just get you that purse for like $50. It looks just like it on eBay. And she's like, no, I got to spend in however much it is.
People will know.
Well, I know people who love like to collect like those nice fancy watches.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I have some buddies that are like, some of them are like $8,000, $10,000. One a dude I know has like a $30,000 watch. And of course, my dumb ass goes online to see if I can find fake versions. I'm like, I could get that for $150. Looks just like it.
I'd never know the difference.
I wouldn't either. Of course, a collector probably would be like, no, you see how that little thing is a little different from the time on there. It's not right.
Nope. Is anybody looking that closely?
Have you ever been duped?
No, but I'm like you. I like to spend my money on the fake stuff. And we had a buddy that was recently living in China, and he could get us like fake Balenciaga gear.
What's Balenciaga?
Balenciaga is like very, it's like a very fancy fashion brand. Like, okay. Like sneakers are like thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. So he would get us fake gear, fake Kraken gear he got us.
Yeah.
He sent over, there's another fashion brand called A Bathing Ape. We got a bunch of knockoff gear of that. I love spending less, Steve. I am a bargain hunter.
Danny and Sarah, have you ever been duped?
No.
No?
I never really bought anything crazy like that. You would think like with guitars and stuff, but not really.
Dude, there's like a whole thing of like fake Gibson guitars and fake Les Pauls. And I'm like, you know, it looks as good as the original. I can't play for crap. I might as well get the fake one.
I buy from the source, Steve.
Okay, fine. I have buddies that bought Jordans from like certain shoe shops and then had to go back to that place because they realized that they were not legit because one of their sneakerhead buddies was like, yeah, that's not really a Jordan. That's a Gordon.
Rockaholics, have you ever purchased something that turned out to be a fake? 206-803-ROCK.
The Daily Migs Show.
Have you ever purchased something that turned out to be fake? Or maybe, like Steve Migs and I do, have you ever intentionally purchased something that you knew was fake?
We're
you knew
faux,
it wasn't real.
We're faux enthusiasts.
206-803-ROCK. Jason from Yelm, tell us about the autographed posters you have.
Jason.
Sorry, I was at Starbucks and I just got my arm caught in the window.
Oh, no.
That
you're okay,
sucks.
Man.
All right, now we're out of here. Okay, here we go. Well, good morning, y'all. Good morning.
Well, I hope your arm's okay.
Oh, I'm live from my car right now.
Okay.
All right. So back in about 2006, I came home from leave from Iraq, and I had bagoogles of money. And so I went down to the Pike Place Market one day, and I think it's still – well, it is still there. There's like a memorabilia shop in the basement, the corner.
Yeah.
Well, so they used to sell music memorabilia. And so I went in there, and I bought an autographed picture of all three members from Nirvana. I bought an autographed picture of Alice in Chains, Jar of Flies, signed by Lane Staley, Mike Starr, the whole crew. I bought a Temple of the Dog picture signed by all the members, a Neil Young one. Well, anyways, fast forward, I'm looking at the picture one day, and it just clicks on me. Chris Novoselic signed his name with a C and not a K.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, man, here we go. And so I called them up, and they have records. Still of who they got it from, some reputable music memorabilia guy in Seattle that actually obtained all the signatures. He was real prominent in the scene, I guess. Well, they had that I had purchased it, what I purchased it for. They could trace it
all.
And so I took a picture of that Nirvana signed picture of Kurt Cobain, Dave, and Chris, and I sent it to the Chris Novoselic fan club, and I wrote him a letter, and I explained to him how long I had it, and I was like, I'm not trying to make money, but can you just give your stamp of approval on this? And about 8 months later, he wrote me back, and he was like, yep, I remember the photo signing. It's good to go. Have a great day.
Dude, how great is that? And I was going to say, like, because I know, like, Kurt and Chris, like, at times would just mess with their own name and how they spelled it. So when you first said it, I was like, I bet it's still legit, and that's awesome that he actually authenticated it.
Oh, yeah, because I was going to send them off to the authenticating place or whatever, but they're super expensive to do, but... Shout out to the Pike Place Market, that little shop down in the corner, because they kept handwritten records all these years. And the guy was like, yeah, man, one guy came in and bought all those at that same time. I'm like, well, buddy, here's a guy with two thumbs. I'm that guy.
That is
rock
awesome,
on, Jason.
Dude.
That's awesome.
And I bet one time they had to prove it. And they're just like, you know what? From now here on out, we have to make sure we have records of everything so we don't have to deal with this kind of stuff.
Keep receipts.
That's awesome. And also, you got a letter from Chris Novoselic saying, that's
pretty dope.
8 months later. That sounds like something. That's like, wait, what is this? 8 months later?
206-803-ROCK. Have you ever purchased something that turned out to be fake? Chris from Smoky Point, tell us your story.
So, my first deployment, we went out towards the Middle East when I was in the Navy, and we would pull into Dubai. We'd pull into Dubai all the time. And the sandbox was this little area that they, like, fabricated for us that was right on the pier, because we'd pull pier side. And they would sell all kinds of fake Rolexes, fake handbags, anything you could ever imagine that would be thousands and thousands of dollars here in the States, and they would sell the knockoff ones. And some things you could sell, some things you really couldn't.
Right.
And I had a buddy of mine, he would buy up almost all the watches every time we would pull into Dubai, and he would sell them here in the States as real ones.
See, I wouldn't go that far. That would be that to me is like taking it to when you knowingly or know that you're
scamming.
Yeah, like that's. But I would buy them and rock them and be like, yeah, yeah, totally, it's a Rolex, because I think that would just be funny.
Do you know how much money he made off of this scam adventure?
Roughly $75,000 he paid for his brand new truck in cash.
I bet.
So email us where in Dubai I need to go. I'm kind of changing my number.
206-803-ROCK. Mariah in Mill Creek. You bought a fake Funko Pop.
Yeah, I did. So I used to work at the warehouse, and we get them free all the time. So I was making a collection, and the ex I had at the time was really into Dragon Ball Z. And as a birthday gift, I wanted to get him a really nice one for his collection, but what it was worth was $5,000. So I found a dupe for $20 on online. And in the fine print, in the details, it said that it was a make, that somebody took the time to make it. And it was pretty good. I mean, it only had subtle details to show that it was a dupe. So
Mariah, did you tell your boyfriend at the time that this was a fake one, or did you try and pass it off as it was real?
No, I told him about it, that because I didn't want him to be upset if he thought it was a real one.
Mm-hmm.
And if anything, we got to go down a rabbit hole of, like, finding out how to tell real from fake, because it's out there, you know. People like to make that stuff.
And the collecting side of Funko is crazy, like how some of those Funko Pops, how much money they go for. Like when they do like those limited edition ones, or they have like one of a certain type that's available at this certain store. I have some friends that are like knee deep into that world, and I'm like, I haven't heard, $5,000 seems super steep, but there's like some that go like, you know, $500, $600, $700.
Wow. Mariah, do you know, like, in your experience with Funko Pops, what's like probably the most valuable one?
So most of the time, the ones that they do for their convention, because they're limited, those ones usually go for quite a bit. And then if somebody gets it signed by the voice actor or the actor, then, you know, that adds to the price tag. The ones that I personally have, the most expensive is over $100, and it's an HR Puff and stuff.
Oh, cool.
Nice. So you're a stoner is what you're talking about.
The Daily Migs Show.